Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Let's BOGO! The Hoppin' Good Sale at Designer Shoe Warehouse is on. Buy any pair of shoes in-store or online. Get a second qualifying pair 50% off. Yep, must-have sandals, sneakers, and more from brands you love are buy one, get one 50% off at DSW. But only for a limited time, so hop to it. Fill your basket and score BOGO 50% off at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
They pause on new tariffs except for China. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up. The NASDAQ's up. The S&P's up. And the bond market is safe and secure again because people were dumping our treasury bonds, which is what was really at the heart of the panic that the president was referring to earlier when he spoke at the White House with the car drivers. So do we have the audio of the president? I know Fox cut away from it, but do we? OK, I want to hear what he has to say. I think this is an incredibly important day. You know, it's as we say all the time. He does everything in the afternoon, which is great. It's great for us. No question about it. I want to make sure you get to hear this. This is a very important day with this pause on the tariffs, and especially if you're just joining us here. So let's dip into the president in the Oval Office.
As you've consistently identified, restoring our maritime dominance as a nation is very important, from shipbuilding to having a merchant marine that's capable of supporting American military efforts, really up and down the line. Restoring maritime dominance has been a priority of this administration. This executive order, which was prepared primarily by your National Security Council staff and National Security Advisor Waltz, has a number of very significant policy steps, all aimed at restoring American maritime dominance and ensuring that we have the shipbuilding capacity and ability to compete globally, both militarily and in the civilian space as well.
And that could be a good one for Michigan, too, because we're going to be spending a lot of money on shipbuilding. We're way, way, way behind. We used to build a ship a day, and now we don't do a ship a year, practically, and we have the capacity to do it. So we'll talk to you about that. Okay, Matt, you think about that. That's a natural. Okay, shipbuilding. That's a good one. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next executive order relates to defense procurement. Our current defense procurement process has been criticized by many folks on both sides of the aisle as being too slow to adapt to new and changing technologies, not delivering the sorts of weapons and systems that our warfighters need in order to compete on the battlefields of the future. So with this executive order, we're going to be modernizing the procurement structure the Department of Defense uses to allow it to more quickly adapt react to changing circumstances around the world. And we're also going to be launching a review of existing procurement programs to ensure that we're getting value for the money and to ensure that we're getting the best possible systems in the field.
And which are currently horrible. I tell you, they're horrible. That process is ridiculous, what they do. They get the highest price and not even good-looking equipment, and we're changing it. We're going to change it to the best. So this is very, very important. I want to say hello to Brooke. Well,
sir.
Look at Brooke. She got the cost of eggs down 87%. 87%, Governor. We have somebody that's done a great job at Department of Agriculture, and Kristi Noem, who perhaps a few of you have heard of. She has done the most unbelievable job as somebody that's watching over our country at the border. And with Tom Homan and your whole staff of tremendous people. So thank you. Who would think that she is like meant for that job, huh? She's meant for it. So congrats. I just saw you there both. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. We'll do it later, please.
Thank you, sir. Lastly, in the defense space, one persistent issue that we've had in terms of the issue of foreign defense sales, that we're unable to provide weapon systems in a reliable, effective way to key allies of ours. And a key driver of that is inefficiencies and inconsistencies with the process by which we approve foreign military sales. So this executive order is going to direct your Department of Defense, Department of State, other relevant departments and agencies to rework our system of foreign defense sales to ensure that we can provide equipment, creating American jobs and providing, obviously, revenue to American defense manufacturers, but provide key military equipment to our key allies in a reliable, effective way.
Okay, that's good. All very important. Okay. Because our budget is just about approved, and it's a big budget, and we want to spend the money properly, get the best equipment in the world. We rebuilt our military during my first term, rebuilt it entirely, beautiful, and then some was given away to Afghanistan so stupidly, the most embarrassing day in the history of our country, I think. But it's still, we have to fix it up a little bit, and that's what we're going to do. We're going to do a good job of it, too. Thank you.
Next up, sir, we have a series of executive orders and memorandum all relating to deregulation, which has obviously been a major priority of your administration. The first of these is an executive order. The Biden administration launched what you've called a war on showers. They had certain regulations that basically killed the water pressure of showers and other
thank God.
Other water appliances.
You can say it. Go ahead. What are the appliances?
I mean, it's everything, sir.
Dishwashers,
toilets.
Oh, this
sinks.
Is huge.
But the shower heads are
there's
a huge
no water. Deal. You don't get water. It's ridiculous.
So with this executive order, we're effectively going to be reversing that set of regulations to ensure that Americans have choice in the consumer market. If they want a low-flow shower head, they can buy one. If they want a real-deal shower head, they should have the ability to get one.
Best
so
use of the day.
House, you pay a lot of money, and the developers, you're not allowed to do anything more. They put restrictors on. They used to have a restrictor where you could take it out, but now they weld it in. And you take a shower or wash your hands, whatever you do, including dishwashers where no water comes out. But you wash your hands, and in my case, I like to take a nice shower to take care of my beautiful hair. I have to stand under the shower for 15 minutes till it gets wet. It comes out drip, drip, drip. It's ridiculous. And what you do is you end up washing your hands five times longer. It's the same water. And we're going to open it up so that people can live, and we're going to hopefully have Congress approve it so it's memorialized. We're going to try and get all of these things, including straws, a little thing like straws. We did straws a month ago where the paper straws were melting. They were dissolving. They weren't working well. And we went back to the plastic straws. We're going to get Congress to memorialize just about everything we've done here, because most of it's common sense. But the water is horrible. When you go into anytime you see a new faucet, you know it's going to be a long, It's going to be a long wash of the hands. And so we're changing. It's a big deal. I did it in the first administration. Biden came in his like first week, and he had no idea what he was doing, but somebody told him to do it. And his first week, he put the restrictions on all the bathroom utilities, even in areas that have so much water, they don't know what to do with it. You see those areas all the time with the flooding. So we're doing that, and we're going to get all of the things that you've seen. I think we set a record. We're up to almost 2,500 amendments. Nobody's ever done that. We're going to get them approved by Congress so they're memorialized. And we look forward to doing that. Very important. And Congress is going to start working on it as soon as we get the big, beautiful deal done. The big, beautiful deal is important. The biggest tax cuts in the history of our country, that's important.
This shower thing, the appliance is a big deal. Honestly, it really is. It's a big deal. I had to take out the restrictor for my shower head, and I had to use a screwdriver to do it, jam it in there. And I like a nice shower.
Is that okay?
It's a good shower.
Amazing.
We rate the signatures.
Good. This is a big deal. Honestly, dishwashers too, so your dishes can actually get clean.
This is another executive order relating to deregulation, sir. There are a lot of regulations on the books that either promote monopoly directly or prevent new market entrants from entering into a given market. The net effect of that is very negative for consumers. So what this executive order is going to do is direct your departments and agencies to work with the FTC, with the Attorney General, with the Department of Justice, to ensure that the regulations we have on the books don't function as anti-competitive barriers to new market entrants. The net effect of all of that is going to hopefully be market forces that redound to the benefit of consumers and ordinary Americans as opposed to monopolistic businesses.
I said yesterday he was a great, great student at Harvard before it went bad. It's gone really bad. Now they're teaching their students mathematics, basic mathematics. Can you believe it? So what does that mean? They're allowing people in that can't add two and two? What's going on at Harvard?
I went to law school there, sir, and it was pretty liberal when I was there, but it's gone way off the deep end in recent years.
I don't know if you read that. They're teaching them basic mathematics, people that got accepted to Harvard. How come they got accepted if they don't have mathematics?
Like, that's like you, DeSantis.
And we're holding back $8 billion. Can we believe? We give Harvard $8 billion. And we're holding back Columbia. We're holding back a lot of the schools because they were woke. And they've hurt a lot of people. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
There are a large number of regulations on the books. These are regulations that are currently in effect that we believe blatantly violate the law, blatantly violate Supreme Court precedent that otherwise are just blatantly illegal. So what this presidential memorandum does basically just directs the heads of your departments and agencies to follow the law and to cease enforcing regulations that are blatantly illegal or unconstitutional.
It's a big deal. It's really very important that we get these memorialized.
Yes, sir.
In Congress. Very important for the long haul, right?
Yes, sir. This is the last of our deregulatory EOs for the day. This is zero-based regulatory budgeting. The idea here is that over time, regulations accumulate on the books and in the Federal Register, and people aren't taking a close, detailed look at what's on the books and clearing them out as times change or as regulations become dated or ineffective. What this executive order is going to require is each of your departments and agencies to scrutinize on a continuing rolling basis all of the regulations they actually have on the books and sunset those that either no longer serve a purpose or the departments and agencies can't identify a specific reason for keeping them active.
Okay.
Sir.
This is executive orders on deregulation.
You've taken action against a number of law firms that have in one way or another been involved in the weaponization of government or actions of lawfare. One of those law firms is Sussman Godfrey, similar to what we've done previously with other law firms. This is an executive order that takes certain measures against Sussman Godfrey to ensure that they can't access government resources, government buildings, scrutinizing certain aspects of their practices as a law firm, given their previous activities.
And we signed with many law firms, the ones that we thought were inappropriate, and they've all agreed to pay $1 million. They went for some pretty big numbers. I guess we have a total. What do we have? What's the total about? What's the total right now, Steve? About, would you say?
Getting close to probably $600-700 million now, I would think. We've multiple at $100 million, some at $125 million. So the numbers are adding up. We're going to be close to $1 billion soon.
One at $40 million. $40 million. Millions of dollars an hour. But they don't admit guilt. Remember that. They don't admit guilt. But then we have another five to go, I think, five of them. And this one is just, we're just starting a process with this one.
Yes, sir.
All right, because there were some very bad things that happened with these law firms.
And this firm was very involved in the election misconduct.
Weren't they all involved in the election misconduct? I think they were all involved.
Yes.
Anyway, so they went from $40 million to $125 million, and most of them are at about $100 million, right? All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. The next presidential memorandum we have for you relates to Miles Taylor. You may recall that Miles Taylor served in the Department of Homeland Security during your previous administration. In his capacity with the Department of Homeland Security, he leaked classified information. He wrote a book under the pseudonym Anonymous, making outrageous claims both about your administration and about others in it. What this presidential memorandum is going to do, one, it's going to strip any active clearance that he has in light of his past activities involving classified information. It's also going to order the Department of Justice to investigate his activities to see what else might come up in that context, given his egregious behavior during your previous administration.
And I had no idea who this guy was. I had no idea. I saw him on CNN, or one of them, I guess, CNN, a lot. He'd be on all the time saying that the president is the president. I had no idea. It's like, you know, in this office, you have a lot of young people, and they're here. I'll see him for 2 minutes, and I assume he was in the office, but I barely remember him. It was somebody that went out and wrote a book and said all sorts of terrible things. They were all lies. And it was like he was this gentleman or that gentleman, like I dealt with him all the time. I had no idea who this guy. I said, who the hell is Miles Taylor? And he made a living on going on CNN talking about the president. And I think what he did, he wrote a book, Anonymous, said all sorts of lies, bad things. And I think it's like a traitor. Like it's like spying. He walks into the office. He's supposed to be sitting here. A lot of people, you know, I'll be here and there'll be 20 people standing in the room. There'll be oftentimes young people in the office. I assume he was one of them at least. But I didn't know anything about him. And he wrote a book, Anonymous, and I always thought it was terrible. And now we have a chance to find out whether or not it was terrible. But it was a work of fiction. Got a lot of publicity. Got himself a nice job with CNN or one of them. And I think we have to do something about it. You can't have that happen. If that happens to other presidents, it wouldn't be sustainable for other presidents. I seem to be able to sustain. But if that happened to other presidents, I mean, it's just unfair. And if it was a Democrat president, I'd say that's a terrible thing. A thing like that can happen. That's a terrible thing. And it's time to find out whether or not somebody can do that. Can they write a book about very confidential meetings and You know, because they happen to be one of a lot of people in a room, and they go out and write a book, and worse than that, call it anonymous, like it's a big deal. And everybody's saying, who is it? Who is it? Who is it? Then it was found out who he was long time later. And he got a lot of publicity off that one. He's like a promoter. But we're going to find out whether or not somebody's allowed to do that. I think it's a very important case. And I think he's guilty of treason, if you want to know the truth. But we'll find out. And I assume we're recommending this to the Department of Justice.
Yes, sir.
Well, he's about to become very, very famous again.
Okay, good. Terrible guy.
Similarly, sir, Christopher Krebs, the former head of CISA, this is a man who weaponized his position against free speech in the election context, in the context of COVID-19. This is another, it's a similar presidential memorandum to the one you just signed. It addresses his access to government, existing clearances he might have, and further instructs your Department of Justice, other aspects of your government, to investigate some of the malign acts that he participated in while he was still head of CISA.
This is another one. I don't know that I met him. I'm sure I met him, but I didn't know him. And he came out right after the election, which was a rigged election, a badly rigged election. We did phenomenally in that election. Look what happened to our country because of it. Open borders, millions of people coming into our country. Russia and Ukraine, that would have never happened. October 7th would have never happened. Afghanistan, the way that they withdrew with 13 dead, but so many killed, actually. I mean, so many killed outside of the 13 soldiers, hundreds of people killed. And maybe, I don't know, never mentioned, but I mentioned it, 42 or 43 people so badly injured, the legs, the arms, blown off, the face. And this is all because of an incompetent group of people that preceded us. And that would have never happened. And this guy Krebs was saying, oh, the election was great. It was great. Well, it's been proven that it was not only not great. When you look at all these lawyers and law firms that are signing, giving us hundreds of millions of dollars, it was proven by so many different ways and so many different forms, from the legislatures not approving to the 51 intelligence agents that worked, from all of the different scamming operations. It was a very corrupt election. They used COVID to cheat. And we're going to find out about this guy, too, because this guy's a wise guy. He said, we've been proved this is the most secure election in the history of our country. Now, this was a disaster. And frankly, we should go to paper ballots, same day voting, voter ID. And one other thing, a vote, you should get a little certificate that says you're a citizen of our country. You get a citizen piece of paper that says you're a citizen before you can vote. But you want voter ID and you want paper ballots, and you really want same-day voting. If you don't have same-day voting, they decide to change the air conditioner. Oh, we're fixing the air conditioner. Let's move all these boxes. We'll bring them back in a few days. And then they don't bring back those boxes. We've got to have safe elections. We have to have borders. Ideally, we have to have a free press, which we don't have. We don't have a free press. We have a very dishonest press. This will be an honor. We're going to find out whether or not he was right. This was a disgraceful election. And this guy sat back saying, well, I'm a member, or like he's a Republican or something. And almost right from the beginning. And he's tried to make the case that this election was a safe election. I think he said this is the safest election we've ever had. And yet, every day you read in the papers about more and more fraud that's discovered. He's the fraud. He's a disgrace. So we'll find out whether or not it was a safe election. And if it wasn't, he's got a big price to pay. And he's a bad guy. There's another one. I have no idea who he is. Krebs. I have no idea who he is. I'm sure he was in the room at some point, just like you're all in the room, but I have no idea who he was, so thank you very much. Those last two are very important, I think, for the country.
Thank you, sir. And lastly, we just have three proclamations. These are the sorts of things that most presidents use an auto pen for. You obviously don't like using the auto pen much, if at all. The first of these is National Former Prisoner of War Recognition Day. This is one that you did in each of, I believe, each of the previous the years of your previous administration, recognizes former prisoners of war. More generally, this proclamation is written to acknowledge the great steps you've made both in this administration and your previous administration on behalf of veterans, homeless veterans, others who have suffered in that way, and basically stating that it's a priority of your administration to ensure that veterans and homeless veterans are cared for properly.
Good. And you know what? They ought to find out who was using that auto pen, because whoever that person was, he or she was like the president of the United States. And I'm against auto pens. I think auto pens are not a good thing, especially when you're talking about documents like we're signing today. If he can't sign, then he can't be president. It's pretty simple. Let's see whether or not he could sign. But I think that should be tested. I really think that should be tested. It's another one. Mm-hmm. And you may think about it, because how can a man that did he really know that when they gave all false information on the council? I mean, the whole unselect committee of political lunatics, they destroyed all the information. You can't get any information. They went for like a year and a half, almost 2 years, screaming and ranting and raving. Democrats plus two worse than Democrats. You had Cheney, Liz Cheney, and crying Adam Kissinger. Crying Adam. Every time I looked at him, he was crying. The guy was a crier. But you can't do that. You just can't do that. So we're going to find out a lot. I think we're going to find out a lot. These last three or four have been very, they've been very, very interesting. We'll see what happens.
Sir.
But I don't think a president should be allowed to use an auto pen when they're signing very, you know, important legislation. I think a president should.
All right, we're going to take a break here. We're going to pause this and monitor it for you. We have the chairman of the RNC, Michael Whatley, joining us. And we'll hit pause on this and come back to it when the president is, I assume, going to take some questions from the press, which is very important. The biggest thing from this, what I'm happy about, is the end of low-flow showers, signing executive order. Hopefully Congress will codify it into law, but ending the low-flow tyranny of faucets, shower heads, washing machines, and dishwashers. Enough is enough. I mean, really, honestly, it's time to get our dishes clean and our clothes clean and get some nice, strong showers. You shouldn't have to buy a shower head in the black market like Kramer did. Shouldn't have to do that. It doesn't work out well for anybody. So I want to tell you about Natural Lawn of America. Great people over there. They're going to take great care of your lawn as well. You know, Natural Lawn of America, what separates them from these other big lawn companies out there is the fact that Natural Lawn makes a plan for your lawn, specific to your lawn. And that's what the beautiful part about this is. When choosing a lawn care company, it makes sense to hire a company that is going to focus specifically on your lawn. And that's what Natural Lawn of America does. They believe in growing greener, healthier lawns without the harsh chemicals. They use environmentally friendly products to keep your lawn lush and green while protecting the safety of your family and pets. From organic fertilizers to safer weed and insect controls, they make sure your lawn thrives naturally season after season. Don't just take my word for it, although you can, because I've been using them for years. Join the growing number of homeowners switching to Natural Lawn's safer service and start enjoying a beautiful, eco-friendly lawn you can be proud of. Schedule Natural Lawn's full service program today and get free seeding every year. So if you want a greener, healthier lawn, just like I have, plus free seeding, which gives your lawn, it makes such a difference. Call Natural Lawn of America at 1-800-FREE-SEED. That's 1-800-FREE-SEED. Your lawn deserves the best, so call the best. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America, 1-800-FREE-SEED.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
President's taking questions in the Oval Office after the big announcement of the pause on tariffs. We have a pause for you, and we will come back to that in just a moment. You won't miss a second of that, I promise you. But we're very happy to welcome to the show, for the first time in a long time, our friend, the chairman of the Republican National Committee, Michael Whatley. Mr. Chairman, great to see you. How you doing, my friend?
We are doing very well. It's good to be on with you, Rich.
Absolutely. Great. So a couple of things we got to chat about. First of all, you want to react to the president's announcement today, the 90-day pause on tariffs?
Look, I think it is absolutely big news, and we're seeing that across every platform right now. You know, the president has been very clear since day one that he wants the conversation on tariffs to be about making sure that America is going to be treated fairly. It is part of a overall economic construct to return manufacturing to America, to create jobs here. And it's working. And we're already seeing investments that are being announced by countries across the world. And since he put these tariffs on the table, we have seen country after country after country say that they want to drop their tariffs. They want to enter into negotiations. Very smart play by the president, and not surprisingly, being treated very well by everybody who's looking at this today.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, 75 countries want to negotiate with the United States of America and get rid of whatever trade barriers are there. That's really positive news. Of course, keeping 125% tariffs on China. And look, you know, Democrats have for years been talking about China's unfair trade practices. So I'm waiting for them to come out and thank the president for highlighting China's unfair trade practices. I guess I won't hold my breath, though.
No, but it is absolutely important to understand the role that China plays in these world markets and the fact that millions upon millions of American jobs have been shipped over to China because of their trade policy, because, you know, for too long we had politicians in America that just rolled over and let China put these policies in place without any response. Donald Trump, since the first day that he came down the escalator in 2015, said that we are going to change this and we're going to take steps. He put tariffs on China in his first term, and he is very serious about making sure that they are going to treat America and American consumers fairly.
Let's turn locally to a couple important issues, Pennsylvania and New Jersey. So Pennsylvania, first of all, there's an election integrity lawsuit that's making its way through the courts. This has to do with ballots, mail ballots. This is crucial. Give us the update on the RNC's efforts right now to ensure that the law in Pennsylvania is actually followed the way the legislature intended it so that we can have voter integrity.
Yeah, it is stunning to me, Rich, that we're having this fight. You know, the fact is Pennsylvania law is very clear that if you're going to mail a ballot in order for it to be counted, you have to put a date on it, and the date has to be before Election Day. You know, I mean, this is not rocket science. And the fact that we have lawsuits in federal court, lawsuits in state court, we had multiple lawsuits last year over this, whether these ballots were going to count, if they were improperly dated or not dated, is absolutely stunning to me. This is the Democrats who are looking for any excuse to weaken the protections for mail-in ballots. Pennsylvania law is very clear. Everybody understands it. Everybody can comply. And the fact that we're having to deal with this in two different sets of cases just shows you the desperation for the Democrats right now to find any hook to weaken election integrity protections.
And you guys are not taking your foot off the gas on this, which is key, because obviously it's not an we have judges on the ballot this year. So it is an important election year in Pennsylvania. But, you know, next year's midterms. And then before you know it, we're going to be talking about the must win state of Pennsylvania again. So it's really critical that we solve all these issues. And the law is very clear. You know, these ballots have to be signed. They have to be dated. They have to be in the inner secrecy envelope. And yet the Democrats keep trying to undermine the system because, let's face it, it benefits it to them. We know that the numbers of ballots that were thrown out, the majority of them were Democrat ballots. So it obviously benefits them. And the law has to be set by the legislature. That's an important principle. It can't be overridden by judges. The legislature has to be the one who sets the law. And we saw this happen in 2020 with the Pennsylvania Supreme Court ignoring the will of the legislature when it came to the deadline for mail-in ballots and postmarks for mail-in ballots. I'm glad you're still going, not giving up on this issue, because clearly they're not giving up on this issue. So, you know, we have to keep fighting them on this because I think they're hoping that we just give up.
Well, look, you're absolutely right. Pennsylvania is going to be a critical battleground state for us, not just in 25 with these Supreme Court races, but in 26 and in 28 and in 30 and in 32. Yeah. It is absolutely one of the most important states, I would argue. In 2024, it was the most important state in terms of both the Senate makeup and in terms of the presidency. And when you have a state that's close, that where you have runoffs and you have very, very narrow margins, you know, you got to make sure that you have the right rules of the road in place. You know, our plan at the RNC is pretty straightforward. We have four basic principles we want in place. Number one, only American citizens can vote. Number two, you got to have voter ID. Number three, states need to clean up their voter rolls. And number four, you've got to have basic protections for mail-in ballots. That's what we're fighting about here, is whether or not we're going to keep those basic protections that the Pennsylvania legislature put in place. When we have the rules of the road set up before voting starts, that is a message to every voter that they can count on their vote being protected, that they can count on the sanctity of their ballot to be delivered, and it's not going to be canceled out by cheating.
Good. Republican National Chairman Michael Whatley is my guest right now. It's great to have him on the show. It's great to see him, and I appreciate all his hard work on this. Let's go across the river, shall we, to New Jersey, obviously one of two states with a gubernatorial election. We know who the Republican candidate's going to be in Virginia. We don't know who the Republican candidate's going to be yet in New Jersey. That primary's in June. But the important thing is that we win the entire state assembly. The lower house is up this year, as well as the governor's race. I saw recently that the state Republican Party reported that they again are outpacing Democrats in voter registration. So that's really good news.
Yeah, look, we're seeing a lot of good news coming out of New Jersey, and you really can start that conversation with how well President Trump did last year, losing by just 5 points up there. And I think
when they weren't even trying, which, I mean, that's part of my interruption, Mr. Chairman, but it wasn't like we were trying really hard in New Jersey. Everybody was focused on Pennsylvania. So all my friends who were county chairs were bringing their people over to Pennsylvania to win. So it's just important to think about the fact that he only lost by 5 points when there wasn't really a concerted effort to even try. That's a very key point.
Absolutely. And we lost the governor's race by a mere 3.5 points 4 years ago. So I think that there is really, truly an opportunity. People in New Jersey are very frustrated with the go-along, get-along Democrat leadership that we continue to see. The fact that the governor there has never seen a tax that he didn't like. He never saw a dollar that he didn't want to tax. He never saw a business transaction that he didn't want to tax. You know, the fact is, in New Jersey, those families care about the same thing that every other family cares about. Right. They want to know that we've got an economy that is going to allow them to have a job to make the money to take care of their family. They're going to want to know that their communities are going to be safe. They want to know that America is going to be strong. They want to know that New Jersey is going to be strong. And what we have seen from the Democratic Party for decades now is they're going to tax and spend more. They're going to suffocate the economy. Communities are not going to be safe. And people want an alternative. The Republican Party is the common sense party. And I think there's really, truly an opportunity for us here in 2025 for those voters to say, hey, we want a common sense candidate. We want a common sense party, and we're going to make a change.
Good. I think it's excellent. Before I let you go, on the national level, returning to that for a second, President Trump's tax cuts, they expire at the end of this year. We have to make them permanent. I know the president wants one big, beautiful bill. We have to deregulate. We got to get these tax cuts to be permanent. All these things happen. And I loved yesterday how he was easing the regulations on coal. That's incredibly important to Pennsylvania, to the entire country, really to the world. Can we make this happen? Can we get those tax cuts to be permanent, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I think we're going to get it done. The fact is, the president has met with the House leadership and the House members. I've met with the Democratic or with the Republican House leadership, the Senate leadership and the members all across the board. The president has been engaged with Senate leadership as well. The vice president has been engaged. And our message has been very clear. Get it done. And I think that you've got the reconciliation package is being hammered out right now. Then we're going to move into negotiations on the one big, beautiful bill. Look, there's a lot of sausage to be made here. There's a lot of process that they're going to have to go through. But there is one thing that everybody understands, that this bill needs to be done. Otherwise, you're facing the largest tax increase in the history of this country with Republican leadership in the Senate, the House and the White House. That is not a recipe that we want to go into an election cycle with. The president has been very clear on this. He's going to fight every single day for the American people. Speaker Johnson, Senator Thune have been doing a great job managing their caucuses. So, I'm very optimistic we're going to get this done.
Good. And we can do it in a way that the Democrats can't filibuster it, which is why, you know, the one bill issue is important here. So good. That's excellent news. I appreciate your time today. I appreciate you joining us. And you just you don't stop. You're a machine. You keep going and going. It's great. Chairman Whatley. So thanks for joining us again today in Philadelphia. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Thanks. Really appreciate you and all your listeners.
All right.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
As we continue along here on the show, I want to remind you that our big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. President Trump taking questions from the press in the Oval Office, being asked right now after this big tariff announcement. He just talked about China and his relationship with Xi Jinping. We're going to bring all of that to you straight ahead as we continue along here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I don't anticipate that we're going to be doing this every day for the next 4 years, but this is early in the administration. And obviously today being a day where the president just announced a 90-day pause on tariffs and is addressing China. I think you want to hear what the president has to say when he's asked by the press, and he's brought the press into the Oval Office again. I mean, he is the most accessible president. Say whatever you want about the guy. I've never seen a president this accessible to the media. He just brings him into the Oval Office and just lets him fire off questions, and they don't drown him out with music like they did with Biden. They don't yell at everybody to get out of the room after one question. He just goes until he gets bored and then tells him he's done. But you never see a staff member ending it. You notice that? The president decides when he's done, which is very unlike, obviously, the last administration. So anyway, I told you I'd pause it for you, and I did. We did. And so we'll pick it up right when the president starts taking questions in the Oval Office after signing some executive orders, including my favorite one today, which is the one that he's going to allow the water to flow in your shower and your dishwasher and your washing machine and so much more. Go ahead.
Talk deal stand, given what we've seen, we know the tariffs
well, it's
with China.
Moving along, but obviously I would say right now China's not exactly thrilled about signing it. We have a deal with some very good people, some very rich companies that would do a great job with it. But we're going to have to wait to see what's going to happen with China. So
is the president still on the table?
No, it's on the table very much. I think China's going to want to do it, actually.
President, can you explain more of what you believe is the end game with China? Are you waiting for President Xi to blink? How do you think this is all going to be resolved?
Look, for years we've been ripped off and taken advantage of by China and others, in all fairness. But by China, that's the big one. And it's just one of those things. You know, we're making $2 billion a day right now, this country. $2 billion a day with tariffs. And they were making $2 billion a day we'll be making more. And now when you see what happened today, I don't know if it's still there. You know, this was, I looked an hour ago, but we were up like close to 3,000 points. Nobody's ever seen a day like that. I think that's a record, isn't it, fellas?
Definitely.
Is that a record?
It's a big
Who would have thought we were going to have a record like that after watching? But because the geniuses of the world, they get it. Our country's very strong. We were left a very, very weakened country, both economically, financially, because of all of the tariffs and all of the other companies just raiding us and ripping us off. And also at the border, where 21 million people were allowed to come in. Many of those people were criminals. And but the people that do this for a living, some of them are very smart and some of them aren't smart at all. But these guys are very smart, and my group is very smart. My whole group is smart. And you've done so amazing on the border. I read the other day that there were 9 people and hundreds of thousands 2 years ago with Biden, and we had 9. We had it down to 9, and they were all let in for medical reasons. They were in bad shape. We let them in for medical reasons, not even for anything else. So you've been amazing. But that's a big thing. I think it's one of the greatest... One of the greatest problems that I've never seen anything like it. Open borders. The whole world was emptied out. Prisons from all over the world, from the Congo in Africa, from Africa to Asia, a lot in South America, but it wasn't just South America. Prisons emptied out. And I said it outside with the drivers before, but El Salvador has been amazing. A job that the president's done. He's coming to see me next week. And we look forward to that. But that's really been amazing. Yes.
Mr. President, the EU also announced increases in tariffs today. Why not treat...
Bad timing for them. That's bad timing.
Why not?
They didn't put them in. No, they threatened them. But they picked a later date, which our expectation is it's going to be later still.
Okay. And I'm glad that they held back.
If this was the strategy all along to bring them to the table, why did you instruct or advise, or maybe they did it on their own, some of your top aides to say this is not a negotiation, to hold the line, that they were going to hold the line, that you were not going to change your mind?
Well, a lot of times it's not a negotiation until it is, and that happens. And, you know, I said outside that you have to have flexibility to do it right, and that's what we have. And we brought everybody to the table. And it may not be a negotiation. It may not last. I mean, you know, things may be as that I think are not fair to us. Look, we've been ripped off by essentially everybody for 35 years. This is not just a new thing. And Roger Penske just left. He's a great gentleman, great man, actually. And he said no other president would have had the guts to do this. And I believe that's right. They wouldn't have done it. They should have done this a long time ago. A long time ago they should have done it. I started it with... China, I took in hundreds of billions of dollars in tariffs and taxes from China in my first term. And we had the greatest economy. We were up 88% on the stock market. That was the greatest ever in the history of our country. But it had to be done. It's something that had to be done.
Mr. President, thank you so much. Which countries will be negotiating first? Do you have any criteria? Because, for example, Brazil and the UK, they do not have deficits with the U.S. They have a surplus. They do not have a surplus. They have a deficit with the U.S. So what is the criteria? And also, would you consider talking or meeting with Xi Jinping?
No, sure. He's a friend of mine. I like him. President Xi, I like him. I respect him. But they haven't treated our country right. Sure, I'd meet with him. On the other countries, we have Japan is here, and South Korea is here, and others are here, and we're trying to see them.
They're there now.
From what I hear,
great.
It's much more than 75. I said 75 plus.
So many.
It's everybody wants to make a deal, actually. And, you know, we want to do what's right for our country. We also want to do what's right for the world. The world is important. I mean, it's the world, right?
It is the world.
I think we're going to make a lot of people very happy. And I think investing in the United States of America will be the greatest investment that anybody's ever made.
Mr. President, we just to see the sectoral tariffs, so the pharmaceuticals, steel. Is that something you're still considering moving forward?
Yeah, well, I will be because we want them coming back. You know, we realized during COVID that we don't make our drugs and our pharmaceuticals in this country. So I realized that, and it was a big realization. We had to go to China to get drugs. We had to go to other places. I won't even mention the names, but we had to go to other places. We don't make it. And that's because we let them leave. And now if they want to come back, we're going to put tariffs on the pharmaceutical companies, and they're going to all want to come back. They're going to come back. I'm not going to pay them any money like Biden with the chip deal. That chip deal was horrible. They give billions and billions of dollars to chip companies. All they have is money. They have so much money. And they give billions of dollars, and they're just going to keep the money. They're not going to spend it. And the only thing that's going to bring them back is you say, we have a barrier. You have to pay 50% or 100% or 200%. And if they have to pay that, they're going to say, we're not going to pay that. We're going to build here. And that's what happened. We're the biggest, most prestigious chip company in the world, spending $200 to $300 billion. Think of that, $1 billion to build essentially one massive plant. It'll be one of the largest plants in the world. And we're going to get them very quickly. We're going to get them energy. We're going to get them the electricity they need and the energy that they need. And it'll be approved by Lee Zeldin, a total professional. And it'll be approved very quickly. And they'll get their zoning very quickly. They'll have everything done in a matter of months.
Thank you, sir. You've procured a record amount of private sector investments since your election, $7 trillion. You talked about the importance of all that. Can you talk about how these investments will have a positive impact on families who felt like the previous economy left them behind, and why your executive orders on coal yesterday is so important given the amount of
coal is huge.
Ushering back in. It's big.
Which is correct. We have, I would say, more than $7 trillion now, right, of investment coming in. Apple is coming in for $500 billion alone. We have other companies coming in with massive numbers. We have car companies that are coming in. We've never seen anything like it. Maybe in the 1940s or 50s or something, but we've never seen anything like it. They had three plants canceled in Mexico. Not that we want to hurt Mexico, but we're for us. And that's what my job is. It's not to take care of other countries, but I want to help other countries as much as I can. But we have to take care of America first, and it's about America first. So we have many, many companies coming in that would have never come in if we didn't win the election and then put the tariffs on. And they're coming in because when they build in the United States, there are no tariffs. You don't have to pay any tariffs. So instead of paying 30, 40, 50% or 25%, but it could go a lot higher in some of the industries. So we have steel mills right now that are raging. The steel industry has gone. If I didn't put the tariffs on steel, because China was dumping massive amounts of steel in my first term, and I put tariffs on, I saved the steel industry. But now it's going to thrive, maybe like never before. I mean, if you go back to U.S. Steel from 90 years ago, it was incredible. It was the number one company in the world for a long time. That's why we don't want to see it go to Japan. And we love Japan, but we, you know, U.S. Steel is a very special company. We don't want it to go to Japan or any other place. So we're working with them, and, you know, I don't know if they need any money now. I'll be honest with you. They hit gold. They hit gold because if you look at it, they have such orders for steel now. It's incredible. What's going on in our country is incredible with respect to plants. So we lost 90,000 plants and factories from the beginning of NAFTA, the worst trade deal ever made in the history of this world, but certainly in the history of trade. There's never been a worse trade deal. We were able to cancel that. We had to get approval from Congress. It was like a disastrous curse because you had to go to Congress to get it terminated. You couldn't just terminate it because it was a bad deal. And you had people in Congress that didn't want to do it because they had other reasons, maybe bad reasons. They're mostly not there anymore, those people. But it's amazing what's happened. I appreciate that question because it's incredible. I don't think we've ever seen anything like it. $7 trillion, and it's much more than that because, you know, these are places that we know. $7 trillion is unheard of. I'd never looked at the Biden numbers, but you could go a whole year and it was peanuts. Everybody was leaving. They weren't coming in. They were leaving. And that means jobs are leaving. And so we're not playing games. We're going to make this country greater than ever before. Thank you for that question.
Mr. President, it seems that China's taken it seems.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. For the past few days, we've heard from this administration, no pause.
Was this idea of doing a pause, did that just come about this morning? Can you tell us exactly what came into consideration for you and your advisors?
For a period of time, I wouldn't say this morning. Over the last few days, I've been thinking about it. I've been dealing with Scott, with Howard, with some other people that have...
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.